Thank you, Stephen. I'd like to ask Stephen Roten to come up, and the elders who are here this morning. You could send that with Ronnie. So we're excited about how the Lord has answered prayer. The elders have been praying, and Stephen is another answer to prayer. We pray many things. One of the things we pray is that the Lord would raise up those from this assembly that could go out and be a part of our reach to the whole world. That's where the Lord Jesus has sent us, not only right here where we are, but to the whole world. And we know that's not only through people from this assembly going out that we do that, but that is one way. And we're excited that our brother Stephen has been led of the Lord, even as a young boy. You young people down here, when Stephen was younger than you, he sensed the Lord really burdening him to take the gospel to other cultures, and maybe the Lord is working in your heart as well. So we are thankful that Stephen's going out. In the early church, when someone went out to take the gospel, the local assembly would recommend that person, we read in Acts, to the grace of God, and that's exactly what we're doing. Stephen's going out on faith, trusting the Lord to provide for him, to go before him, to meet his needs, and to provide the strength that he needs to do the work. So he'll be leaving tomorrow. A friend will be riding down with him. The elders have been in contact with Real Life Ministries down in Mexico, Ken Small and others down there, and we're going to continue to do that and to encourage Stephen. We hope you will. So we'd just like to share a scripture with you, Stephen, quickly. This is a very familiar scripture. It was actually given to Joshua as he got ready to go into a new land. Joshua had been there before to kind of check it out, but now he was going to be going into that land. Stephen's had the same experience, had been down to Tijuana several times, and he's going to be going back for an extended period. So Stephen, I'm just going to read these verses, and you can take them to yourself, okay? They were written originally to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. I'm going to ask Dave Steenland if on behalf of the elders he would commend our brother Stephen to the Lord in prayer. Stephen, if you can come up here and we'll just all maybe come up.
Father, we come before you this morning, and it's our desire, Lord, to commit our brother Stephen to you and for all that lies before him. Father, we thank you for having touched his heart as a young child, for having drawn his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then, Father, for having spoken to his heart about service for you outside of our own country. Father, we thank you that you've continued to work in his heart, to lead in his life, to develop him. And Father, we thank you for the point that you've brought him to. And Lord, now as he leaves us tomorrow morning and starts his drive down to Mexico, Lord, we ask that you would go before in every way, that you'd manifest yourself to him, that he would be aware, Lord, of your presence. Father, that you would open and even close doors according to your will to guide him, that in all ways he might glorify the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for your blessing upon his relationship with other believers with whom he'll serve there in Mexico. And Lord, we ask that you would open the hearts of those who are lost for whom he has a burden. And Father, guide him as he continues to grow in his knowledge of the Spanish language and as he reaches out and speaks to these native Mexican people. Lord, use him, we ask, for your glory. Keep him, we pray. So, Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for what you've done And Lord, we trust you for all that lies ahead as we commit our brother to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Stephen, may the Lord bless you. Keep you.
Good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being here with us. And we're going to be looking this morning at Numbers 13 and 14. If you want to find your place there, once you do find your place there, if you could mark that, and because we're going to begin our reading actually in Hebrews chapter 3. But if you'll go on to Numbers chapter 13, because that's where we're going to be drawing our thoughts from this morning. As you're turning there, I don't know how many of you are history buffs. I don't really consider myself a history buff, but I do enjoy history, certain things more than others about that. But if you like history, you probably are interested in explorers. We've had many explorers, of course, through the history of our world and of the history of our nation. My favorite explorer, I really didn't have anything to do so much with the United States. In fact, the place he explored is a place I really have no interest in going, and that's Antarctica. Sir Ernest Shackleton, among other voyages that he made, expeditions down to Antarctica toward the South Pole, he led the British Imperial Trans-Antarctic Expedition in 1914. And that went through 1916. Their plan was to cross Antarctica from the Weddell Sea to McMurdo Sound, about 2,000 miles. But instead of that, they ended up drifting at sea for 10 months. And then their ship, the Endurance, was crushed by pack ice in 1915. If you ever get a chance to do a little extra reading, I would encourage you to find the book Endurance and read that book. Josh told Kim about it, and she read it and passed it on to me. And that is one of the most exciting exploration stories I have ever read in my life. Because even though they weren't able to get to where they were going, the amazing, miraculous, really, way that these men were all rescued eventually in a remarkable way, and I won't give you the story, but the idea that they were going to explore. And when you go to explore, you expect a little adventure because you're going to investigate and to search out something that maybe you have never seen before, maybe you have, but you don't know a whole lot about it, or maybe you know quite a bit about it, and the excitement comes from going to see it firsthand, maybe do something that you've never done before. Sir Ernest Shackleton surely had an adventure as he led that expedition to Antarctica. This morning we're going to be considering together in Numbers 13 and 14 an expedition, some explorers. And they now in our study, and we've been away from it for a while, but we're coming back to our study of the nation of Israel making their way from Egypt to Canaan. And at the point we're going to be in our story this morning, in our narrative, our historical narrative of the nation of Israel, they are going to be right near the what we would call the edge of the promised land. Close enough to smell it, you might say. They have left Egypt. They have been redeemed by blood, the blood of an innocent victim. They have come across the Red Sea miraculously, and they've worked their way down the Sinai Peninsula. They've come there and received the law of God through the hand of Moses. They have seen God provide for them in miraculous ways. And even though many times they have gone against what God wanted, they've seen the grace and mercy of God in their lives and on their nation. And now they have begun working their way back up northeastward, and they are aiming toward the land of Canaan, the land that was promised to Abraham, that was promised to Isaac, that was promised to Jacob. A land that their forefathers had longed for and looked for and wondered when they would ever be there as a nation. And now they're right on the edge, right on the edge. And as we've seen all through this study, God has written these things and kept them, not just that the nation of Israel might know their own history, but that those who know the Lord Jesus Christ in 2009 might be able to look back and learn from their experience. God makes that very clear in 1 Corinthians 10 and in Romans 15. And we have found in our study, as we've looked at the Old Testament, that we can come to the New Testament and God opens up for us the lessons that he wants us to learn. And that's why we're starting in the New Testament this morning. We're going to read a lengthy passage in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. We're going to start at verse 7 of Hebrews 3. I'm going to try to refrain myself from making too many comments on this passage. We want to get back to Numbers. But I want to use this as a backdrop for what we're going to see, because I want you to understand that God has this in the Scripture for you and for you today. Today. You'll notice that as we read, okay? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. And he begins out by quoting from Psalm 95. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. He's going back, he's referring back, as the psalmist did, to what we're going to be reading about in Numbers 13 and 14 this morning. Verse 10, "Wherefore," God is speaking here, "wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." The rest there, speaking of the land of Canaan. Verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a beautiful passage. What a wonderful warning. What a challenge. Did you notice how many times the Spirit of God brought us to today? Today. The Word of God is living and powerful. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God is as relevant today as it was on the day that each individual word was penned. And the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And the Word of God will be taken by the Spirit of God today and brought right up against our hearts. And if we yield, it will go deep within our hearts. And maybe if we don't yield. But if we yield, God will speak to us. And when He speaks to us, may the message come to our hearts as well as our ears today. If you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. With that backdrop, we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. And we're not going to be able to read all of Numbers 13 and 14 this morning, but we will read some of this. The setting, again, is in the wilderness. Kadesh is the particular location. And they find themselves there in Kadesh, in the wilderness, again, somewhat on the edge or near the edge of the promised land. And we're going to be looking this morning at these chapters, and we're going to just try to draw out for ourselves today three actions associated with exploration on the journey. Exploration on the journey. And first of all, we want to recognize the opportunity for exploration on the journey. We'll start out in chapter 13, Numbers 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. We find in the book of Deuteronomy that it was actually the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, whose idea it was to go search out the land, to do the exploration. And God was in agreement. And God told Moses, I want you to choose a leading man from every tribe, each of the 12 tribes, and I want you to send them as an exploration party to go into the land that I'm going to give you, the promised land. The land of promise, Canaan. Now, as we think about the promised land as it's laid out in the Scripture, and we consider it as we are studying, beginning in the book of Exodus, and we've come through Exodus and Leviticus, and a good ways through Numbers now, what is it that this land that they were moving toward represents for us? Well, there are many individuals much more intelligent than me that say that this promised land represents heaven. There are other individuals, much smarter, more intelligent than me, that say this land does not represent heaven. I'd like to suggest for us this morning, in spite of the fact that many songs that are very meaningful to believers speak of Canaan land and the promised land as heaven, I would suggest that though there are applications there, the primary interpretation for us is not that it represents heaven. We're going to see when we get to the book of Joshua that as they went into this promised land, they had to do a lot of fighting. There were a lot of battles to be fought. There were enemies there. And I don't find anything in the Word of God that says when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to fight any battles. When I get to heaven, the battles are going to all be over. I would suggest that as we come to the promised land in Scripture, the thought there, though there are other interpretations as well that some have put forth, I would suggest that what we find here in Canaan is the blessing of God on the people of God as they appropriate that by the power of God. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus, we have in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we have the truth that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But as we're here in this room this morning, the honest among us would have to say, you know, I don't consistently enjoy the blessings of God, all these blessings of God. I have not appropriated all of them as I should. Now, God blesses. He blesses the unbeliever as well as the believer, we read in the book of Acts. He calls it to, it doesn't just rain on the crops of the believers, of the righteous people. No, he brings rain on everyone. Now, sometimes he brings judgment, and sometimes he brings discipline on his people. But God is blessing. But you know, there are many blessings. Of all spiritual blessings, many of those I would suggest are blessings that because we find ourselves in the place of the children of Israel and responding as they did, we may not be enjoying those blessings to the fullest. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. They were going to be able to go into the land of Canaan. And we're going to see a little bit about that land. They had to go into that land by faith. And there would be battles there, but God promised to give them the land, to give them the blessings, to give them the victory. But they had a responsibility to go in by faith. And we find ourselves, we read in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, we find ourselves with the opportunity to enjoy the rest of God. The blessings of God, not because we work to earn them, but because we allow God to work through us and in us to provide them. And God gave those people an opportunity to explore that land, and He gives us an opportunity, if you will, to explore that land. For us, we don't send out 12 explorers like they did. Rather, God has said, here, I'm going to give you some information. And He gives us His Word. And the authors of Scripture, by the Spirit of God, we can read what they have written, and we can get a little taste, as it were, a little view of what God has in this land. We can hear the testimony of saints past. We can read biographies of men and women of God who have experienced a greater understanding and appropriation of the blessings of God to a greater degree maybe than we have. And we can learn from that. Not only saints past, but saints present. And even in our own experience, God will allow us, if we will go by faith, to taste what He has for us. The purpose, look at their purpose. Go down to verse 18. Here's what these explorers were to do. They were to go into that land, in verse 18, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. So they were to go in and they were to explore the land. And they were to come back and report basically on two things: the produce of the land and the people of the land. They were to go and investigate this land, find out how productive it is, and also find out about the people who live there, what they're like, how strong they are, and where they live. Really, He provided for them an opportunity for a taste of that land. A taste of that land. A sample. Check it out. How many of you have ever been to Sam's? Raise your hand if you've ever been to Sam's Warehouse. Okay. All right. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Now, if you went to Sam's and you've never sampled anything, put your hand down. There's a couple hands went down. I'm amazed. That's some discipline. You can put your hand down now. But when you go to Sam's, you go to get a good deal, but you also go to get a good sample, a taste of what they have in there. You're sending out a little explorer into that promised land of pizza and that promised land of some other special thing. I don't know what that has. It's been a long time since I've been in there. But when I went, I got my samples. The Lord allows us to taste. The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord wants us to know more of what He has for us. He doesn't want us to be content. We've been talking about discontentment, but when we did, we mentioned it's not wrong to be discontent with where we are in our spiritual walk. We always want to be growing. We always want to be deepening that fellowship with the Lord. We always want to be learning more about Him and appreciating Him more and experiencing more of what He has for us and the blessings we've already tasted, that we might recognize that there's more. And so there was an opportunity for exploration on the journey. They needed to recognize that. It was an opportunity for a taste, but it was also an opportunity for a test. Because as these 12 explorers went into the land and came back with a report, they were going to be sharing their findings, and there was going to be a test. How are you going to respond? Because God has said, I'm going to give you that land. God had made promises to Abraham. He said, everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you. You look that way, you look this way, you look the other way, and you look that fourth direction. That's for you, Abraham, and your seed. I'm going to give it to you. God had spoken. And there was a test involved. Would they go in and inherit what God had provided? Will we go in? God is testing us. How are you doing with the test? As God provides, even today, as we read the Scriptures, and you get a little taste, a little glimpse of maybe something that you've not really taken as your own to live. Now, maybe you've tasted it, but you've never taken the step of faith to bring that into reality in your life. Not just somebody else, but in your life. Remember, the writer to the Hebrews said today, today is the day that God is wanting you to recognize this opportunity that He is providing. He says, do it today. Don't waste any time. Don't waste any more time. My brother Dave was sharing with us at the Lord's Supper this morning at the end during our time of sharing announcements and needs about our sister Cora Jean Ulasevich. And many of you were there, and you heard, if you didn't know already, that she's been diagnosed with lung cancer. Probably has about 3 months to live. I remember when she used to sit right over there, and I'd always see her smiling when I was preaching. I'm not sure if she was laughing or something. No, she was smiling. She loved the Word of God. Not necessarily my preaching. She loved the Word of God. And you know what? I remember I talked to her the other day after she found out by phone. And you know, and I was thinking about her, and I could tell from her voice, she was going to redeem the time. Thing about Cora Jean, she was going to redeem the time whether she found out she had 3 months to live or not. And that's how we need to be today while it's called today. Don't let your heart be hardened. You see, right now, as you hear the Word of God, the Spirit of God is working to soften that heart, that the seed might go in, that the Word that you're hearing might be mixed with faith, as we read in Hebrews. But at the same time, Satan is working to pack down that soul, to harden that heart, so that you won't act in faith. We've got to buy up every opportunity. Today is what we have. We don't know we have 3 months. We don't know we have 3 days. All we know is we have right now. So first of all, we've got to recognize the opportunity for exploration on the journey. Secondly, we've got to evaluate the findings of exploration on the journey. We've got to listen to the findings, and we've got to weigh them out. The Lord Jesus said while He was here on earth, count the cost. Count the cost. Look at what you can gain and look at what it's going to cost you and make a decision. And that's what He calls us to today. And we find that these 12 explorers came back and they gave their report. Look down, if you will, in verse 26. They've made their pilgrimage in 21 to 25. They made their expedition, and they've come back after 40 days. And in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and showed unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So they come back from their fact-finding mission. And first of all, they present the facts. Verse 27. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land where thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." This is the fruit of it. And they had actually a long pole, and on that they had cut off one branch of a cluster of grapes, and it took two men to carry that. And they brought back pomegranates and figs, and possible, those are the three things we know they brought back, but maybe other, and they showed, here it is. God set us a land that gushes with milk and honey, with good things. It is a land of blessing. All 12 of them could raise their hand and say, count me in to evaluate that land as a land of blessing. When it came to the produce of the land, they were all in harmony. There was large produce, great blessing. And God says, I want you just to get a little taste. I want you to get a little glimpse of the blessing that is available to you in Christ. For those who know Christ as Savior, the blessing that's there may be a blessing beyond what before you have appropriated for yourselves. We don't have time to look very much in depth, but just think for a moment about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is what God says is available 24/7 to the life of every believer who will yield to the Spirit of God in faith. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Are you experiencing all of those things in your life today on an ongoing basis? That's what God says is available. And if you're experiencing some of that, just like we're challenging ourselves this year to step up in our time alone with the Lord, our daily devotions at the feet of Jesus, also now with this, we need to be challenged to step in. He said, go into the land and enjoy these things. Appropriate these things by faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips confessing His name. And you know what? Out of the abundance and overflow of the heart, the mouth gushes with praise and confession to God. Is that the reality in our lives? In our lives. Are we appropriating all the blessing that God has? For as we are blessed with knowing Him, it will overflow out of our lives, out of our lips. It'll be the fruit of our lips. One more, I'll just mention quickly, the fruit of our lives. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And he said, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. It's the Lord Jesus being lived out of my life that others see me and they can see the Lord Jesus. You see, that is the desire of going into the land. Not just that I can sit back and get fat. Not just that I can sit back and say, hey, bring me another blessing. No, it's that I might live out the Lord Jesus, that He might be seen in my life, that the fruit of God's Spirit might be seen through me. We can look at the Word of God, and just those few I mentioned, I think probably all of us who know the Lord Jesus would raise our hands and say, the blessings are great. The blessings are plenty. The produce is large. It's available for us. But you know what? The same 12 explorers who saw that great blessing and that great plenty, that produce of the land, they also saw the greatness of the people of the land. They not only saw the blessings, they saw the barriers. There were some large people there. Look about for Israel here in verse 28, Numbers 13. Look at verse 28. After they describe this great productive land of blessing, nevertheless, oh yeah, there's a problem here, Moses. There's a problem here, Israelites. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That's the sons of a giant. Oh yeah, the people were large. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, where we first entered in. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains. We checked out the mountains too. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So by the sea coast and by the river coast, there are enemies too. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Verse 32 says, they brought up an evil report of the land they had searched unto the children of Israel. The land, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. There were blessings, but there were barriers. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are great blessings that God has for us that He wants us to not only taste, but to take in and to live out. There are things that probably none of us here have ever truly experienced to its fullest degree, some more than others. But all of us, there are more things in the promised land. There are more blessings that God wants us to more fully appreciate and acknowledge and appropriate. But there are barriers. For them, it was large people. They had enemies who were great. And they were in walled cities. And they were big. They were giants. 10 of the 12 spies looked at these giants and said, you know, we're like grasshoppers before them. We're like grasshoppers before these giants. For us, we don't face physical giants. We do have enemies, don't we? We have enemies and we know it. And whether we can list them or not, the Scripture, though not listing them in any particular order or way, shows us, as we study the Word of God, that we have three primary enemies, and they're all big. The world, this society in which we live, our culture, and what is underneath, even the best of cultures. We find that the desire of every culture, every society, behind it all, there's a desire to conform us, to conform everyone to a certain way of thinking. And we find that behind every society, in some way, is Satan. Because the world system is controlling this world. And always has, ever since Satan came in to the picture and man first sinned. There's the world, and then there's the flesh. The world system is large. It's big. And our flesh, the old nature within us that wants to be satisfied, that is so selfish, it's big too. If you've ever done any battle with the flesh, you know that it's a big enemy. And then, of course, there's the devil. Even Michael the archangel wouldn't rebuke Satan, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." He recognized the greatness of this powerful foe, Satan, and his demons as they come against us. And so as we look and explore this land of blessing, yes, we see great blessing that we would love to appropriate to our own lives, but unfortunately we see these enemies who are there too. We recognize the barriers. And so as we evaluate these findings, first we hear the facts, and then we hear the recommendations. And our time is up. We're going to have to finish next Sunday. But very quickly, let me just give you a synopsis. We'll go into it deeper. But 10 of the explorers, their recommendation was basically this: you can't. You can't. There were two other explorers. They were the minority. And you know what they said? Their recommendation was, you can. You can. And do it right now. Today, if you hear His voice. We can't finish this message till next Sunday. It's still going to be relevant next Sunday if we're here. But you know what God is saying to you? Don't wait till next Sunday. Today. Today. Be willing to step out in faith and believe God. They didn't enter in, we read in Hebrews, they didn't enter in simply because of unbelief. They refused to believe God. They refused to believe that He would give it to them, that He was able to give it to them, that He would defeat the enemies as they were yielded and obedient to Him. They refused to believe that, and they didn't enter in. And we'll see more of that next week as we continue this study. But for now, we recognize that the blessings available are great. Yes, the enemies are great too, but God is greater. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He desires that we would experience the blessings that are gushing forth from Him. He wants us to know that. To believe Him, to take Him at His word, to step out in faith and say, yes, Lord, I believe that You will bless me with this if I'm obedient to You and yield to You. Seek to yield to Him this week. I'm sorry we couldn't get more practical in that aspect today. Come back next week, but don't harden your heart today. Let the Lord, let the Spirit of God work this into your heart today. And every day this week, work it in. Work it in. Let the Lord do that. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks this morning because You have allowed us to come together once again to hear Your word. Father, we have heard Your word. Father, we know what makes the difference, though, is whether or not it's mixed with faith. You tell us that in the book of Hebrews, and Lord, we recognize that to be true. Father, I pray for each one of us here this morning. Father, there may be some here this morning that have never responded to the offer of salvation. They've never received the Lord Jesus. They are still in their sins and they're under Your wrath, Your condemnation. Father, they experience some physical blessings in their lives, but they know nothing of the blessing of forgiveness of sins. They know nothing of the blessing of peace with You. They know nothing of the blessing of the joy that can be ours because we know for certain where we will spend eternity. Father, we pray for those people who may be sitting in this room this morning that You will convict their hearts of their own sin and of their need of forgiveness through the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures and was seen. Father, may they search out individuals who can tell them more about the Lord Jesus. May they cry out for salvation. Father, for those of us who know You, Father, may our hearts be burdened that we wouldn't be hardened. Father, that because of past experiences, we wouldn't say, that's not possible for me. Father, help us to recognize that You are the one who gives the land. You are the one who defeats the enemies, not us. Help us to trust You and to be obedient. Trust and obey. For there's no other way, Father, for us to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Father, thank You for today. May we respond in faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.